Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, evangelist for the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. Please follow the example of those noble-hearted folks in Acts 17:11 and compare the following teaching with the Word of God. If, after careful examination, you feel the things I've taught are in accordance with God's Word, then I exhort you to apply these truths to your life, so that you may be a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, please contact me, and let's study together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon God's holy Word. You can find my contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. Now to the sermon.
The title for our lesson this morning will be Honoring Parents. Certainly seems like an appropriate time to preach such a lesson. Today is what our nation calls Mother's Day. It is a national holiday. We also know that in a few weeks our country will celebrate Father's Day. Perhaps less known is the fact that there is a National Parents' Day. National Parents' Day is celebrated annually in the United States on the fourth Sunday in July. Similar to a combination of Father's Day and Mother's Day, National Parents' Day is a day to honor your parents, show appreciation to them, and to celebrate family. The Bible places a great deal of emphasis on honoring both our mothers and our fathers. And it's certainly not to be forgotten that this honor should be each and every day of every year, not just on one specific day. To treat your parents like dirt throughout the year and then shower them with praise and love on one specific day is the height of hypocrisy. And so I want us to think for a few minutes this morning about our relationship with our parents. And I'm going to mention five things this morning in relation to this subject. We'll just jump right in. In the first place, the Bible teaches that we should obey our parents. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll just read the first two verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And so the Bible teaches us here that we should obey our parents. If you go over to the sister passage of Colossians chapter 3, in verse 20, Paul wrote there, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, in how many things did Paul say we ought to obey our parents? Well, he said here, in all things. And who is it that's pleased with this obedience? Well, it says here, it's the Lord. That's well-pleasing to the Lord. And so if we want to be pleasing to the Lord, we need to be obedient to our parents. There are many who disobey their parents. And whenever they disobey their parents, they displease the Lord. Now someone may ask, what about when my parents demand of me something that goes against what the Lord teaches? Well, the same rule would apply there as it does with the citizen in relation to its government. And we could go back to Acts chapter 5 in a situation where the Jewish government, anyway, was trying to command Peter and the other apostles not to preach the name of Christ. And they went out and they did it anyway, and they arrested them again and reminded them, "Didn't we warn you not to preach in this name?" And Peter told them, "We ought to obey God rather than man." And so there are those unfortunate times when ungodly parents will try to demand of their children, young or old, something that goes against biblical principles. In those situations, we obey God rather than man. But that does not, just like with the government, now excuse us to disrespect and disobey our parents across the board. Many of us have parents, one or two, who are not members of the church. Some may be involved in denominations, others may not be into religion at all. And sometimes, with us being servants of the Lord, that makes things difficult, to say the least. And yet still, we must do our best to try to be obedient and to try to be respectful toward our parents. You know, it's a very interesting passage, and I still remember the first time I read this verse, how astounding it was. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. I read this verse, it scared me a little. The Bible says there, in Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. Now if you consider the context, we're not talking about small children, little 8, 9, 10 year olds. We're talking about a child who has grown to the point of becoming a glutton and a drunkard. You know what I think about when I read this verse? Now of course, we don't live under Old Testament times. And some of us may be quite thankful for that in light of this verse. But this at least gives us an idea of what God thinks and how God feels anyway about disobeying parents. But when I read these verses, having lived a few years, what comes to my mind is the child who has grown. He's 18, 19, 20, maybe even mid-20s. He's living in his parents' basement. He won't get a job. He's eating their food. He sits around playing video games all day. They ask him to mow the yard. He won't even do that. Just a lazy, gluttonous bum. That's the image I get when I read this verse. That kind of person. You ever know anybody like that? It's a burden and really an embarrassment to parents. And so the Bible takes a dim view on that type of thing. And so when we talk about obey our parents, in light of this verse and others, remember, we're not just talking about little kids. We're talking about as adults, and especially as young adults, that we make ourselves profitable and useful in this world. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. We're going to be looking at a lot of Proverbs this morning. But the Proverb writer said there, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That sounds pretty violent. God wants us obeying our parents. Here's a second thing in honoring our parents. Not only should we obey our parents, but we need to respect our parents. Obedience and respect should go hand in hand, but sometimes it doesn't. It is possible to obey my mother or my father in a disrespectful manner. Respect is inherent in the idea of honoring our mother and father. It makes no sense to talk about honoring mother and father and at the same time being disrespectful toward them. We can see the contradiction very clearly. To talk back while doing what they've told us to do is to obey disrespectfully, for example. To huff and puff. Oh, you go ahead and you do what you're told, but you make sure that they know you're not happy about it. That's obedience without respect. Well, we shouldn't just be obedient to our parents. We ought to be respectful toward our parents. The passage that we read at the outset, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Not only obedience in verse 1, but honor, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. which is the first commandment with promise. Let's go back to the Old Testament again and get some of God's thoughts to His people Israel. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. And let's just begin with verse 1, just to show you what God sandwiched this particular command into. It says in verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." That's a big one. And then he says, right on the heel of that, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols." Look at all those big issues there. And right in the midst of those, he says that we must revere, respect, hold in high regard, fear our mother and our father. God places a high premium upon respect for our parents. And oh, how we need this message today. If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart or some public place and observe the children. You're going to see some good ones, but you're going to see many who are so much in control of their parents. It's like they figured out all the devices. And they've got their mama and their daddy on remote control. They know just how to act, to tweak this emotion and tweak that in order to get their way and to get what they want. Children are clever at that. And it's sad that so many parents today allow it to happen too often. Now, we all give in to our children from time to time. I can say that as a parent now. But not all the time. The children need to know who's the mama and daddy and who's the child. They need to know who's the boss. And if it needs to be put in order in a very firm way, then so be it. If the back of some britches need to be heated up a few times, so be it. But those children need to learn to obey, because you're training their behavior for their adult life. And what kind of people will they turn out to be as adults will depend heavily upon what you're doing with them right now while you're at Walmart and dollar store with them and in your living room with them. We need to instill within their little minds that they need to respect their mother and their father, or we'll regret that someday. Here's a third thing to think about in honoring our parents. Not only obey our parents and respect our parents, but we should follow our parents' example. I want to put the word godly in there. Follow our parents' godly examples. Unfortunately, some parents are setting an ungodly example for their children. Examples that we should never follow. You know, I can remember when I was a child, I'll never forget this. I was very young, maybe in my even preteen, 11, 12 years old. We didn't get 5,621 channels on TV back in those days. A lot of people only got three. We were fortunate. I guess we were rich. We had 12 plus TBS. But ever so often, the cable company would run a special. They'd give you like a free weekend of HBO. Now, we never had HBO in our house. I'll never forget this. My mama come in there and she found HBO on that TV. And she packed me and my brother in our car and she drove straight to that cable office. And she marched us in there and she said, "I want to know what HBO is doing on my TV." "Oh, ma'am, you're not being charged for it." Said, it's a free promotion. We're trying to get it. She said, "I don't want it in my house. Turn it off. I don't want that filth in my house." I remember that to this day. And that has affected my choice of entertainment when it comes to movies and TVs and so forth. She was very strict on that. And to me, that was a godly example that made a lifetime impression upon me. What kind of lifetime impressions are we making upon our children? If we've been blessed with godly parents, and if we've had sense enough to choose to serve the Lord ourselves and to strive to be godly parents ourselves, how are we doing with our children? I like the story about the three preachers who were trying to discuss what their favorite translation was. One preacher said, "I like the King James Version because it's, you know, it's a standard oldie and it's got all that beautiful imagery and language in it." And another said, "Well, I like the New King James Version because it's a little clearer to read and it's in modern language and it's easier to read." And the third one said, "I like my dad's version." The other said, "Oh, I didn't realize your father had made a translation." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "When I was growing up, he translated the Bible every day in his life in front of me. He lived the Bible. That's what he was talking about." And that's important. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And I'm sure I've got my reference wrong. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul's talking to Timothy here, thanking God for him, verse 3. And in verse 5 he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." I love how he referenced Timothy's godly grandmother and mother there. And how Timothy had a genuine faith in him, and how that was largely due to the influence of his mother and his grandmother. And then over in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 14, when he said, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul places a high premium upon the "from whom you have learned them." That's a reference to his grandmother and mother, no doubt. Again, he makes reference to that. That is so valuable to understand that. And Timothy was to continue in those things. Those of us who are parents today are living through critical years, especially those who have young children, to mold those young minds to a mindset of serving the Lord when they're older, and being like Timothy, to develop within them a genuine faith. Here's a fourth thing we ought to think about in honoring our parents. We need to care for our parents, and I'll add, in their older age. We should care for them anyway, but particularly when they get older and feeble. Matthew chapter 15. Let's begin in verse 1. Now this is the context of where Jesus said in verse 8 and 9, "You hypocrites, you know, you make useless the commandments of the Lord with your traditions." But it says in verse 1, "The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?' And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.'" Now when we read that, we think, well, honor our father and mother, it means be nice to them. When we grow up, call them every now and then, send them a card. Be respectful toward them. Obey them. That's honoring your father and mother. But when you read what Jesus said here, you find there's even more to that. Read on. He says, "But you say, whoever says to his mother, father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother." What is Jesus talking about there? He's talking about finances. He's talking about assistance. He's given a scenario where the person comes to his mother and father and says, "Mother, Father, I had some money for you, but I gave it to the temple. I gave it to God." Of course, he's saying, really, they probably wouldn't do that anyway, or you ought to do this without leaving the other undone. But the interesting thing is, Jesus connects the concept of giving things to mother and father to help them with honoring mother and father. And so people who neglect their parents in their older age because it's so inconvenient, it's so hard, I've got my own life to live, I've got this, that, and the other, those people, the Bible has some harsh words for. Let me share those words with you. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible says, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God." What about those who won't do that? Verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household," now that's not talking about my wife and my children in the context, that's talking about my elderly in my family, my mother, my grandmother. "If I won't provide for them, I have denied the faith and I'm worse than an unbeliever." Those are strong words. For somebody who don't want to be inconvenienced in caring for their aged parents and grandparents. And what a shame that is. Now there are people who take this verse too far and they misinterpret it and make it teach something that it doesn't teach. I know some people who think it's a sin to put an aged grandparent or parent in a rehab facility or a nursing home. And that can be wrong. I know of people who have put their parents in there and just said, "See you later, nice knowing you." They never visit them, never come do anything for them. I knew a poor little lady, sweetest lady in the world, down in Florida. We used to go every week, a group of us, to visit certain people in the nursing home. One little old lady, you'd come in and her whole wall was wallpaper with pictures of her family. And she had a story for every picture. And it was just a joy to go visit with her. And one of the nurses told us that she had a son, and her son and his wife and another child. I think she had two children. And one of them came once a year and spent about 10 minutes with her. That's a shame. On the other hand, sometimes it's cruel to not make use of those facilities to help you care for your loved ones. Sometimes it puts them in dangerous situations and can cause even more harm to withhold that. So there's a balance there. But even when you do, you're still there. You're still part of their life. You're still doing for them with the assistance of others. So you can see the balance there. But to neglect that, yes, it can be very inconvenient. It can be very challenging. It can be very difficult. Just like so many other things involved in serving the Lord. But again, the wise man said in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, "Listen to your father who begot you." Watch this. "And do not despise your mother when she is old." Number 5, honoring parents. We obey our parents, respect our parents, follow our parents' examples, care for our parents when they become aged. And finally, we should praise our parents. Some people run their parents in the ground. Maybe some parents have acted in such a way to solicit such a thing. But even then, we should be careful, shouldn't we? What was it our mama used to say growing up? If you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. It's a pretty good rule of thumb sometimes. In Exodus 21, verse 17, "And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Again, we don't live under the old law, but that certainly shows us how God feels about speaking evil of your parents. New Testament book of Mark, chapter 7, and verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. So Jesus brings this over into the New Testament, doesn't he? Or at least he's referring to the law of Moses and again reminding them of how important it is for us to honor our father and mother. This is Mark's account, by the way, of what Jesus or Matthew recorded in Matthew chapter 15 that we looked at a few moments ago. Don't run your parents in the ground with your tongue. Honor and respect them. You know, Proverbs 31, the chapter of the virtuous woman, what a wonderful chapter. And it talks about all these virtues, obviously, of this woman. She's a hard-working woman. She's a good mother. She makes sure that her husband and her kids are fed and they're clothed. And then the result comes in verse 28 of Proverbs 31. And her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I love that. And you run into somebody and they just praise their mother or their wife. Well, that's because that wife has lived virtuously. But this is the way we ought to speak of our parents. Consider Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Got some strong imagery here. It says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. What does that mean? We've had that same image over in Proverbs 24, verse 20, where it says, where there will be no prospect for the evil man, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. That kind of explains this idea of the lamp of the wicked being put out. There will be no prospect for the evil man. You know, one of the worst, most miserable states to be in is a hopeless state. You're in a terrible situation, whether it be financially or whether it be physically, whatever it may be. And there's no answer in view. There's no hope. You're just hopeless. It's one of the most devastating words in the language. Hopeless. You ever heard the phrase, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel? That speaks of hope, right? For some people, there's no light down there. There's no hope. He says here that lamp is put out in extreme darkness. There's no light at the end of the tunnel for the wicked man who curses his father and his mother. He will come to a hopeless situation. I love the way we read 1 Timothy 1, 3 to 5, where Paul praised Timothy's mother and grandmother. And surely we ought to praise our parents. Find whatever good is there. Talk about that for others. For some of us, we're blessed enough that that's easy to do. Because we have a godly parent. For others, it's more of a challenge, but either way, we need to praise our parents. So there it is, honoring parents. Obey your parents. Respect them. Follow their example if it's godly. Care for them when they're aged. And praise them. Speak good things about them. Let's pray.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8, 24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.